So, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up. From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Hey, we have an exciting show planned for you today. Greg Johnson, all the way from New York, the creator and director of Emblem Health Care for the Family Caregiver, an initiative that was started nearly 15 years ago as part of the Integrative Wellness Program. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. And I am your host, as I said, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. Okay, that is three. But they are also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember, every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they start to tell you that if there's an emergency and your mask falls out of the ceiling, please put your mask on first before you begin to help your child with their mask. And the reason they tell you that is because they know from experience that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then guess what? You won't be of any help to anybody with anything. And caregivers are exactly the same way. That's why we're here talking to you. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch! Unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process once you get in it, and that's to go through it. You can't go around it, can't go over it, can't go under it. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you are stuck. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show and my radio podcast, my books, my videos, my blog. I know what you're thinking. You're saying it's all about him. That's not all about me. It's actually all about you. So just go to my website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com, or the shortcut that we made for you, CaregiversCaregiver.com. When you go to my website, you will want to take my short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? And guess what? Just for doing that, I'm going to send you a free link to my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. It's about my amazing wife's story, and mine, of course, that is still getting rave reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So please don't miss out on this very informative quiz. It will assess where you are in the burnout process. And the best part is, hello, you get my book absolutely free just for doing that. I mean, Amazon is still selling it for almost 10 bucks. It's a great value. Now, let me take this time, please, to thank my guest last week, Ellen Nielsen, a marketing and communications consultant based in Alberta, Canada. She was also a caregiver to her two parents with dementia at the same time, if you can believe that. So if you missed the show, you can find it on my website under the Uplifting Interviews tab. All right, enough of that. I'm going to unmute my guest, Greg Johnson. Greg, are you there?
I certainly am. I heard that wonderful introduction. Welcome. It's fun.
Well, you are too kind. Welcome to the show, Greg. Thank you so much for patiently sitting through all of my introduction stuff and, of course, for my first-time listeners. So, again, Greg, thank you for allowing me to interview you today. It's something that we have been looking forward to for a long time. You know, we have a lot of guests lined up, and you were in the lineup down the pipeline, and it's like it was never going to happen, but here we are. The day has come, and you are here, and I'm so excited to get started. Why don't we just start by introducing yourself? I love to have my guests introduce themselves because I do a very poor job of it. Just tell us, who is Greg Johnson? Who the heck is this guy, you know, before he became a caregiver?
Well, I feel like the answer is I've been a family caregiver all of my life, but I love being on your program. I'm so grateful that our lives have crossed and come together so that, quite frankly, I can say the two words that I say no matter where in the world I go, I've come to say two words to every person I meet, every family caregiver, and that's thank you. Those are words that they don't hear enough, and I just love your title, The Caregiver's Caregiver, because we certainly need that. I love that whole concept. So It's to say thank you. Actually, I'm a kid, I like that thought, a 70-year-old kid who came out to New York many years ago to pursue the world of music and the arts, but always had a strong calling to ministry. So I came out here to New York, did work at Juilliard, did work at Union Theological Seminary, and things just didn't seem to find the right venue. Well, I can today say God had an incredibly wonderful plan. It was to be in the middle of an insurance company at the later part of my life. And so in reality, and this is a metaphor I don't use that often, but I'm speaking personally about myself, and I'm deeply grateful to have been given the gift to spend the last 15 years here at Emblem Health bringing attention to the silent patients, the family caregivers. But I've been a musician, I've been a conductor, a singer, all that sort of thing. I have been involved in the travel industry with offices all over the world, and then a series of strokes brought me back to New York, and I said, now, what am I supposed to do? And I was so grateful when the then chairman of the foundation here at Emblem Health came to me and said, Greg, he a minister and I also, by that point I had been ordained, and he said to me, we're looking to bring attention to the silent patients, the family caregivers. And I said, well, I think that's fabulous. It's what needs to be done. And I said, but I have to admit, I know nothing about insurance. He said, that's not what we're asking you here for. We want to bring attention to the silent patients. And so I was given that mandate to bring attention to the silent patients, the family caregivers, and it has been the most wonderful journey. I am endlessly grateful to Emblem Health here in New York City for what they have done, because the mission was to bring attention to the employees, to the members and the community at large. And today I'm privileged to travel the world talking about family caregiving.
Wow, Greg, what a gracious man you are, and what a wise person you work for to honor the family caregivers that way. I am so honored to have you on this show. You are like a jack of all trades and a master of all trades.
Been a fun run.
Wow, so you really are a conductor and Juilliard, all of that stuff. You're a very gifted and talented person. You still do a lot of that stuff?
Well, I do it as much as I possibly can. But quite frankly, family caregiving has become my passion and my ministry, quite frankly. And it's very, very exciting. I'll be leaving next month again for my home in Asia. And I'm looking forward again to continuing a project over there. I just learned that one of the foundations in Singapore that I've been working with, the Sal Family Foundation, just had a big gala honoring family caregivers. It's the Sal Foundation, very, very major foundation in Singapore, and its president and founder was someone whom we here at Emblem Health had honored when we first created the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't realize that there are family caregivers all over the world, from the deepest, darkest.
It unites us. It unites us. That's the gift. I'm jumping ahead of our interview, but the truth of the matter is, family caregiving is that gift which brings all of us together, because it's golden rule living. It's Matthew 25 to the Christians. It's Tikkun Olam to the Jewish folks. It's it's golden rule in all of its forms to every faith, tradition, and philosophy. Yeah. The amazing part is, no matter where in the world I go, we are united. Now, I must say, just for our audience, it's only in America that we really use the term family caregivers. The rest of the world, we're known as carers. But, you know, no New Yorker could get two R's in one word. So we will forever be family caregivers here.
Yeah. And just for the record, I am a New Yorker also. I came from Brooklyn. And
no wonder I understand you.
Proud of it, by the way.
Amen.
Go, those Brooklyn Dodgers, they're a bunch of bums, you know. They left Brooklyn and They're out here in L.A. But we also have something else in common. We are also in the ministry. I love God. Jesus Christ is the center of my life, as I know he is yours. And we have a wonderful friend in common, Andre Crouch, who was known as the godfather of gospel music. God rest his soul. And he died
January
8th. Yes, and his music lives on. And I miss him
Amen.
So much.
Amen. We just did it Sunday.
Yes, I did
just
a whole...
on Sunday.
I did a whole show on a tribute to him, so it's also on my website. If you Andre Crouch fans out there, go check it out. Now let's get to you, Greg, because this
you're
is
so
going
kind,
to be...
but I have to put in a plug. That show of yours for Andre was incredible. I've listened to it twice. It's wonderful.
Well,
bless your heart for it.
Bless you. Well, you know, I got all of the people who knew him the best, as I knew him also well, his closest
yes.
friends, and we all had him call in, and we just shared some wonderful, happy, funny, amazing Andre stories, because if anybody could tell a story, Andre could. I miss him terribly. But thank you for
Amen.
That nice compliment. Now let's get to you. How
yes.
does family caregiving fit into the grand scheme of things in the healthcare systems of the world? That's a huge question, and I want to know the answer.
It is. Well, I think it's terribly important for us to understand the healthcare system, because for so long I always use the analogy or the metaphor of a three-legged stool, and you need all three legs for that stool to balance. But so often it's the first two legs that get the attention. Obviously, in healthcare, there needs to be someone who's ill. That's the care recipient. So that's one leg. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, and as we well know, they tend to all go together, no matter where it may begin. The second leg of the stool is the professional caregiver, and by that we mean the paid. Paid in a great amount of money as being some well-known specialist, or
sure.
the often very underpaid home health attendant, but they are
yeah.
still paid, so they're the professional caregiver. And then that third leg of the healthcare stool is the world that we are devoted to, and that's the family caregiver. And it's both family of origins and family of choice. And that's a very important distinction to make and to call out.
Wow. And how much are those unpaid family caregivers worth if you were to put a dollar amount on them? Any amount?
Well, that's where the attention really gets paid. There are constantly new studies being done. Presently, the number that gets used the most often is that we're 65.7 million. We'll talk about the faces afterward, but 65.7 million family caregivers here in America. The
wow.
value, were they paid, would be over $500 billion U.S. dollars. They are the backbone of the healthcare system, not only in America, but of the entire world. Because where does the healing take place? It takes place in homes. It takes place in rest homes at times, in facilities. But it's not in the hospital, per se.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Underpaid and overworked. Wow.
Absolutely. They're the silent patients. So often the family caregiver, because, you know, they walk in the front door, somebody coming to visit someone who's ill, and you're standing there, a wonderful gentleman, and what's the first thing they say to you? Does she feel better? It's like you disappeared.
Yeah.
It's not, hi, how you doing? And that happens again and again. And we are concerned about the care recipient, but so often it only reinforces that the caregiver just disappears and becomes the silent patient. And
that's
why I loved your beginning. And then that only contributes to burnout, because if nobody's asking you, how are you doing? How's this affecting you?
Never.
You don't give voice to it. And you begin to believe what's being reinforced in a very untruthful manner. Because the caregiver is that backbone.
Listen, in many of your writings and lecture series, and you have many, you go literally around the world just spreading the gospel through the family caregiver. Your focus on definitions and being very precise about the meaning of certain words, why do you do this? And what words are the most important to assure understanding and positive communication between all parties?
Well, I appreciate that, because words are extremely important. We can only see how many words are causing issues all over the world right now because people have different definitions. And if we aren't all talking together about the same thing, that's one of the reasons I talk about the care recipient, the professional caregiver, and the family caregiver. But I also talk about family as being family of origin, of which we all are. We all came from somewhere. And as you well know, a lot of people who come out to New York, like myself, I'm the only one of my birth family that lives in this area. I mean, most of them are gone now. But the truth of the matter is we have a family of origin, but we also have families of choice. And families of choice was a definition, really, that came out of the AIDS crisis, and it really originated very much here in New York. But it's not limited to the LGBT world. We had a lot of wonderful, wonderful people who were caring for a lot of people who were dying, and they were church groups, and they were 12-step groups, and they were neighbors and this sort of thing. And hospital attendants, being hospital attendants, wanted, and sociologists, they have to have names for everybody. And what would happen is very often families of origin would come in, and it's a sad but true statement, that within moments they would learn two pieces of information they were totally capable of not dealing with. And that was that their child was gay and dying imminently. And they literally fled. And that left the rest of us standing holding one hand that had just died, waiting for the person on our right to join them in eternity. It was a very difficult time. And of course, the sociologists kept saying, well, who are these people? And that's where the words family of choice came from. But quite frankly, a faith community is a family of choice. A prayer circle is a family of choice. I started a family caregiving committee in an apartment house where I live in a 20-story, have for nearly 50 years, a 50-story apartment building here in Manhattan. And I thought, well, I like to practice what I preach, so I thought, I wonder how it would work. So I started, it's now called Know Your Neighbor Committee.
Cool.
The truth was, it was terrific, and it was a heaven-blessed event, because at first I only had about 30% of the building that signed up for this. They thought it was a nosy neighbor committee, and I assured them that if they wanted to know that information, all they had to do was ask the doormen, who know everything in New York.
Americans do not know their neighbors.
Yes, it's a different world. I thought, something is wrong. I've got to figure it out. And so I began praying on it, as I always do. And one day I got on the elevator, and it was a dog walker, me and seven dogs. And I suddenly thought, thank you, I've got the answer to the Know Your Neighbor committee. And we added pets as part of the family. And today we have 87% of the building who are part of it.
Wow.
And it proved
amazing
to be a blessing. Because when we had Hurricane Sandy, we had three people in the building who were hooked up to electronic equipment. They basically lived alone except for neighbor caregivers. And we got all three of them out before the electricity went out.
Wow.
But we would never have known that had we not had that committee. So I always say to people, a senior center, a political group, an arts club, you name it, that is a family of choice. And so we have lots of families. It's an important term to use. So I talk about that a great deal. And then, of course, caregiving. It's not just about seniors like me, but as you and I have talked, so many, many faces of family caregiving.
You're 70?
I am.
Wow, you have an amazing amount of energy. I know 70-year-old people that have one foot in the grave, and I think I'd have trouble keeping up with you. I'm only 61. God bless you.
Well, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. I've also been a multiple stroke survivor, so we've had our good days and bad, but they've all taught me and blessed me. They taught me a great deal about family caregiving, quite frankly.
Wow.
You know, Rosalind Carter says it better than anyone. In life, there are really only four type of people. There are those of us who are family caregivers today, and I'm one, I know you are. There are those of us who have been family caregivers. There are those of us who will be family caregivers. And then, as a multiple stroke survivor, Ver, I know what it is to be one of the fourth category, which is those who are going to be cared for. And in life,
right,
we play a lot of those roles.
That's right. You know, we talk about a third of the population of America are caregivers, but you brought up a good point. Those that have been caregivers, those that are caregivers, those that will be, in my opinion, 100% of the population will eventually become a caregiver. Just wait. You know, the population
Absolutely.
Is getting older. And it's going to happen. So it's like, you know, it's coming. It's coming. Be prepared.
Well, and the gift is, I think it blesses us because
yes.
that brings us together. I recently spoke. I was very, very grateful. It was an interfaith event that was held here in New York, but it was for 8 foreign ministries from various Arab countries that were here to talk about all the situations going on today. And I was asked if I would be one of the clergy who participated in that conversation. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful meeting.
Wow,
something that
what an honor.
Is very uniquely American and New York. In fact, each of the countries said, we wish you could come and do this in our country. The truth was, I was the last speaker, and mine was peace through family caregiving. And I said to them, now, you probably haven't heard a clergy person say this, but I'm going to say it because I'm known for saying things that sometimes others don't want to say. And that is, I think there come times when we need to put our theologies and our dogmas, our traditions and our metaphors aside and return to something we all do understand, and that's love. And it's particularly well shown forth in family caregiving. And I wish you would have seen the tenor of that meeting change.
Yeah. But ISIS is in the news a lot today, you know, killing, beheading, and this, that. But
yes.
what does ISIS and you and I have in common? We have mothers and fathers and children. And if something happens to them, you'd be surprised how fast that ISIS beheader will go home and take care of their mother because she's sick or something like that.
You are so on target. And that's a very difficult thing to say, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Very much gets into what my very dear friend Archbishop Tutu is very much involved with. He and the Dalai Lama are doing a new book on a book of joy, it's called. But it begins with forgiveness. And that was a powerful. Yeah. Now that's another whole radio show, but that gets exciting. But that's because family caregiving is universal.
Cool. Well, listen, we're up on a break. We will take a break,
okay.
And we will be right back. So please do not go away. We have got a lot to talk about.
Wonderful.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
Yeah.
And we are back with Greg Johnson. Amazing. We are just having too much fun here, Greg. I got to stay on track here, or we're never going to get done with these questions. But, you know, that's okay, as long as we're having fun, right?
You got it. And let's hope we're helping someone else, because, I mean, that's what I love about this wonderful thing that you're doing. You just don't know who's out there, and I just simply send blessings and love to every person who's out there, wherever they may be.
Well, how did you find me, Greg? Because it was you who contacted me. Were you looking for
somebody? No, the truth was you responded to our website.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yes. You came through, not the website, the Facebook site.
Yes.
And my team, you know, this is very funny. We at Emblem have done a great deal with Facebook and websites and that sort of thing. I am not technological at all. In fact, when I call for help desk here, the first thing the tech people say is, don't touch anything, we'll be right there. But the Facebook site has been incredible, and we have nearly 11,000 likes on it. And we've got this wonderful, young, dynamic team that just has caught on passionately to family caregiving. And they bring in some of the most wonderful posts and things that we've read and shared. And then we meet wonderful people like you.
Well, if I didn't know you were 70, you sound like one of those 20-year-old young people in your voice. You're amazing. So let's get back to the questions. How do you define your role in the professional world of family caregiving?
Well, that's something that I have always said. I tend to focus on the spirituality of family caregiving. And by that, I'm not talking religion and theology. I'm talking about essence of. In other words, what is the spirituality of family caregiving? What is the essence of family caregiving? And that's the sorts of things that I have devoted my time to. And because of Emblem's generosity, we have created a platform on which policy and program, which are the two ways that all of life happens. There are people who focus on policy. There are people who focus on program. And we end up with some wonderful best practices. I didn't want to specifically create others because my mandate had been to bring awareness to. Well, if you're bringing awareness to, you need to talk about what is the essence of. So, you know, literally to quote a 12-step program, we neither endorse nor oppose anything. We're all for it. If you're trying this or if you're trying that, wonderful. Yeah. If it's working for you, it's that which comes before policy and program. And I mean, I've done a lot of work with policy, with government at every level of government, and the UN and the World Health Organization and the New York Academy of Medicine, all those sorts of things, which are much more policy-oriented. But then also all the wonderful, wonderful resources, and I'm sure many of your audience are people, well, I know they are, because I've heard others of your broadcasts, all these wonderful people, because so much in family caregiving is the result of someone's journey. They had an experience in family caregiving. They found something that wasn't there, very much like what you're saying. You are the caregiver for the caregivers. That's not been there. There is Sheila Warnock, who lived through so many trying experiences and created the utterly brilliant Share the Care. But it came out of pain. It came out of difficulty. And part of the grief process for many caregivers and the recovery process is the ability to give it back, to say, this was missing in my journey. Perhaps I can make a difference in this way. And I'm just constantly thrilled. If it were up to me, I would have a program just to constantly bring on all these wonderful people, because we're so blessed with what they've done. Yes, that's the next project.
And you know, I'm on the West Coast here. I've never heard of Emblem. I don't know if it's just an East Coast company, but are there competitors like Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Health Net? Because those are the companies that I've always been insured with. And the reputation of insurance companies, especially medical insurance companies, you know, isn't the greatest in the world. But Emblem sounds wonderful. Like, okay, where do I sign up?
I love that. Yes, we are an East Coast regional. In fact, we're one of the oldest companies out here. There were actually two health insurance corporations 75 years ago that were started, and they have merged into what is Emblem today. And I love to refer to Emblem as a health and wellness corporation. who just happens to sell insurance. And I say that with real sincerity, because you're absolutely right. The insurance industry does not have the most glamorous reputation or heritage. I want to tell you, Emblem has changed that. And we have always invited what would be seen as competitors to our events, because there are so many people who need help that if we can bring attention, when we founded the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition and the partnership for the corporations, the whole essence was we left our titles and our affiliations at the door, and we came together as human beings who care. And then each of us took what we had learned, one from the other, and went back to our respective worlds. And it just happens that Emblem became a corporation whose tagline is "What Care Feels Like."
Wow! So the other companies, the competitors, they actually showed up at your events?
Yes, we're all friendly people.
So when's Emblem coming to the West Coast?
Now that's a question I'm going to have to defer to someone else. I'm not exactly in the marketing world.
Yes, we need a company like that. Anyway, back to commercials over now. That wasn't a commercial, by the way. I genuinely feel that way, because the way you're talking about this company is like, are we talking about an insurance company?
I love it. Bless your heart.
So tell me, Greg, how did you get started in this work?
Well, as I was saying in the intro, the chairman of the foundation, and like many insurance companies, an insurance company is run by a foundation, and the chairman of the foundation was someone whom I had known personally, and himself a retired Baptist clergyman, and he and I had known each other professionally. And I was recovering from a series of strokes. I'd had two big ones and two little ones, all part of post-polio syndrome.
Wow.
And I was sort of, as I jokingly say, in my Queen Mother period, because I was walking on two canes. And Carl and I had lunch, and he said, "We want to bring attention to the silent patients." And I said, "I love it." But I had no idea that he was specifically talking to me, because my background had been theater and theology. Uh-huh. It had not been in this world. But I did say to him, I said, "You know, the thing that interests me enormously," I said, "both as a musician and as an ordained minister, is that I have buried more caregivers than care recipients." And
I believe
that's always had my attention. Now, today it remains that's true, but it's because I have become noted in the world of family caregiving, and so I'm out and about that way, and I do serve over at the Marble Collegiate Church, which is Norman Vincent Peale's old church here in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we're at 5th and 29th.
So you've had, my wife had one stroke 19 years ago. She lost her speech, and she's paralyzed on the right side. You've had multiple strokes, and you appear to be normal. What a blessing. You're a very
You're the first person
gentleman
who's ever said that I'm normal, and I like that already. Bless
Tell
your heart.
Me what,
no,
what kind of strokes they were, and what were symptoms, and how long did they last? I'm curious.
Well, it was all part of, the doctors have come to find, as part of post-polio syndrome, which I had had as a child. So it really affected those areas where I had had problems as a child. And I have to admit that I had wonderful, wonderful doctors and that sort of thing. But quite frankly, also, a great deal was, I believe, faith-based, and my wonderful acupuncturists and reflexologists over in Bali, who worked and worked and worked those muscles until we could get that left leg to move again.
Wow. Singapore, and Bali. So, I mean, you're mentioning these romantic, adventuresome destinations that we all dream about going. Oh, yes, in Bali, they fixed my polio, and in Singapore I did this. I mean, wow, I'm jealous.
Well, you see, there wasn't a ministry for me here. I ended up in the travel industry when I graduated from seminary and everything. There didn't appear any place to be going, and so I got involved in tourism, and it was involved in connecting people. And now the great gift is, with family caregiving and the work in it, I'm returning to parts of those world doing work in family caregiving, because the stage was set, and I was privileged to know a lot of the leaders of those countries.
Well, I'm glad you survived your stroke. Your polio is okay? You don't wear braces or anything?
Not a thing.
So you're completely healed of any physical abnormality.
Bless your heart. Amen.
Praise God. I believe
Amen.
In healing. And he does heal
I
today.
I do too. Absolutely.
You're living proof. Now, when you created, Greg, the original program for Emblem Health, who was your target audience and what was your mission statement?
Well, actually, the target audience was the employees. So Emblem has the longest history of a corporation even addressing this issue, which is something I'm working on much more today. But the employees and the members were the original target. And then we said the community at large. So obviously, we happen to have a wonderful community here known as the five boroughs of New York City. That was where we began. But it's gone it's gone statewide, it's gone nationally with wonderful people like the National Alliance of Caregiving. I'm sure you know Gail Gibson Hunt. We were able to take many things onto a much more national level with our many wonderful partners here in New York. In fact, Carol Levine was just on your show from United Hospital Fund.
Carol
has been a very dear friend and mentor, and in fact, tomorrow night she's hosting an event at the Alzheimer's Association that we shall be cheering on. So, you know, it's been that sort of expansion. And then I began, because of my past life in Southeast Asia, after Joe died, we had a home in Southeast Asia. We had had a son who died 10 years ago. So I'm my family at this point, my most immediate family. We were three, and then we were two, and now it's I. And so I had to make some decisions as to where, what should I do. And Asia has played a very important part in my life. And then I received a call from the chairman of the ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Foundation over there. And we had a conversation, and I said, I think that something that would unite the countries is family caregiving. And I was given the opportunity to, as I say, play with the 10 countries that I knew very well and know very well. And so I'm not sure where that's all heading, but I do know that there's a greater power directing it. And so I'm just here to be the instrument. And in the meantime, I get to go home to Bali.
Wow. That's awesome. So
Yes. You
are noted for the quote, in the world of family caregiving, you cannot pay it away, pray it away, or prescribe it away. You need all three, but ultimately you need to go through it, and it's our prayer that you will grow through it. These are words of wisdom. Can you talk to us a little more about that?
I love to, yes. And in fact, you blessed us when you opened the show by talking about how grief is part of family caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
But we are promised the most important word in all of the scriptures is that word through, that we're not alone. And so there are lots of trilogies in family caregiving, mind, body, spirit, we talk about all the time. We talk about government, nonprofit, and for-profit. So there are lots of trilogies that keep showing up. Well, there were three areas that people tend to think when they're facing a life-threatening illness, and that's often what cause is happening in the world of family caregiving, because it forces us to ask a lot of the very big questions as a result. Mm-hmm. But we often look, I'm going to pay it away. Well, no, there are some things that no money can pay away. You need all of them.
Yeah.
Prayer, very, very important. But the outcome may not be the human outcome you were asking for, and many people tend to spend their life making a suggestion list to the divine as opposed to requesting. And the same is with the medical world. There is a limit to it. And therefore, we need all three, because it's very helpful to have the finances. It's wonderful to have a faith spirit, but this may be a huge growing opportunity within your faith life. It may bring you back. People who have been wounded by somebody else's religion often come back to a faith system because of a family caregiving issue. And thirdly, the medical, yes, but there comes a point at which the technology stops. That's where prayer takes over. And ultimately, we have to learn the two most difficult words, surrender and then gratitude.
One of Andre Crouch's most famous songs, there's a lyric that comes to mind right now. If I've never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His Word would do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Amen.
Amen, and I hear the tune. I know it. I know the song well. I've sung it many, many times. And it's true, because caregiving blesses us with becoming wounded healers. But it's through it all is the key. Through it all, we are more than conquerors.
Now, you mentioned Gail before. I understand that you were one of the first, along with Gail, of NAC to create a family caregiving coalition. I know you touched on this a little bit, but why was that important? How has it expanded?
Well, that is extremely important. And today there are wonderfully, I'm delighted to report that there are coalitions all over the country. I don't know the exact number, but I think it's 80 or 90. But we were among the first. Gail Gibson Hunt, who is this wonderful force behind the National Alliance of Caregiving. Fabulous, fabulous person, wonderful organization. She had gotten a grant through Pfizer to create family caregiver coalitions and had done one there, made contact with us through Live On New York, which is a wonderful organization here who put me in touch with her. And it's how we came to start the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition, because many of us had come from the world of senior centers and senior services. And our focus was limited to just the seniors. And again, here we're talking about all the faces of family caregiving, which we can chat about in a minute. But we all came from this world of the seniors, and the seniors are wonderful. However, there was more to it. And so we needed, basically, we all said to each other, well, who's doing caregiving? What are they doing? What areas are not being done? So 15 of us came together, and we spent almost a year and a half just meeting, trying to define proper approaches and that sort of thing, and defining caregiving. Mm-hmm. And then we began to grow, and we began to do some events together. And it began with 15, and today there are over 326 people and 222 corporations involved.
Wow.
Nonprofit, for-profit, yeah, it was huge, because we need, you see, the umbrella organizations, and they're always the hardest to fund, so once again, I say with endless gratitude, thank you, Emblem Health, because they stepped up to the plate and said,
sure,
we will support this, because every little organization has its donors, and they need them, or without those donors, they won't exist. Well, the
amazing
donor can only give to one. You can't serve two masters. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense. But an umbrella organization is so important, because if we belong to an organization, then it's you and 3, 4, 5, 10 other people. And I know each of you, and I know what you do. All right, somebody comes into my life, and I am a New Yorker who can say, that's not for me. I don't know. I can say to someone, your issue is something that I don't handle. That's not my expertise. But I have a friend, and I can not only say, call this number. I can pick up the phone and I can call you and say, I'm standing here with, or in my office today, I have with me. I need mm-hmm. them to come and talk to you. We can open that right door and make that handoff personal and caring.
Wow.
And
listen,
in cold, old New York, we do that.
Amen. Listen, let's take another break, and we'll wrap this up. Don't go away. We'll
wonderful
be right back.
Okay.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to lay the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books and starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassar.
And we are back with Greg Johnson, the creator and director of Emblem Health Care for the Family Caregiver, initiative that was started nearly 15 years ago as part of the Integrative Wellness Program. And we're having fun doing this, Greg. Thank you so much for coming on again. As we wrap up this interview in the last few minutes, I've got 3 more questions, and then I know you want to read something afterwards. How does family caregiving affect the corporate world? What steps are you as a corporation doing in this area?
Corporate family caregiving. And that is huge, because today corporations are losing, and it depends on which study you read, $17 to $38 billion a year.
Wow.
That's huge. In
you mean,
time off,
you mean when they
in
don't
time
show up
lost.
To work, yeah.
Well, that's part of it, but it's also presenteeism. In other words, an employee who's here, but their heart and their mind is elsewhere.
Yeah,
they
sure.
may as well be at home. And also people having to be retrained, people having to cover. And so Emblem has taken the lead. 3 years ago, I went to Emblem with an idea of creating a New York City partnership for Family Caregiving Corps, C-O-R-P-S, literally a little army for the corporation.
Wow.
And I brought together 6 generalists, the very famous Friends Indeed, which Mike Nichols and Cynthia O'Neill founded. That's grief and family caregiving.
Uh-huh.
Marion Gambardella, who is a noted counselor and support group. SAGE. I took all the hot button items. Intersections International from here, which does lots of work with the veterans. The New York City Department of Aging and its affiliation. And then, of course, Emblem Health, so that we were 6 what I called generalists, because the next wave number 2, can be all the disease-specific and everybody who's part of the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition. But this was the New York City core, and our purpose has been to bring attention to corporations at the C-suite level. This is where we need to go, in my opinion, and where I have led the work. And we recently did a breakfast here in New York. I was hoping to have 4, 5, 6 C-suite people. We had 77 people come for a 7:30 breakfast down here in Wall Street, of whom 38 were other corporations. And we have been invited. We just did a big presentation at Time Inc., McGraw-Hill Financial. I mean, major players are saying, please come and talk to us about family caregiving. And that's the biggest thing, is to get the conversation going, helping people. And we've created programs free of charge that we'll go in and do to get that conversation going as a small little core. And then we are also in the process, which I will be releasing in November with all these wonderful persons. We are going to do a group of suggested guidelines to go along with the 5 free things. So I sort of feel like the tablets and Moses, if you know what I mean, that we're going to have our guidelines, that we're going to suggested guidelines and 3 events that can help in this journey. And the biggest thing is, of course, to name it and to know its many faces. So that's what we've been doing.
Wow. You know, Emblem, the more you talk about them, they're just amazing. I mean, they're actually partnering with the patients and the caregivers instead of just, you know, being that greedy image that everyone has of insurance companies. God bless you. You're going to have to live to be 100 years old, because we don't want you dying on us. You are changing the landscape. I mean, you know this, right?
Well, I'm just very grateful, and I am. I'm grateful for your kind words about Emblem, because they've been the unsung heroes. They have been very quiet in what they have done and very generous in the platforms and the care that they show, because they live their message of what care feels like.
Amazing. And I want you to know, this isn't an Emblem commercial, but they are doing stuff that needs to be recognized, because like the oil companies, you know, oil companies don't have a very good reputation. Lawyers don't have a very good reputation in general. And insurance companies in general have a terrible reputation. And Emblem is doing all these things. I'm impressed. And it takes a lot to impress me. I just want you to know that.
Bless your heart. I can't wait to send this tape on to our folks.
Okay. Yeah, you can send me that check later. No, I'm kidding. He's not sending me any money. I'm kidding.
Okay. No, I know that, my friend. Bless you.
Listen, what efforts are being made to help corporations understand and to be good corporately responsible entities? Did you already answer that?
Well, pretty much in the programs that we are creating, of getting in, we want to try and get in and do lunch and learn sorts of things, whether a one-time or, you know, an ongoing situation, to help provide online resources for the employees, so that they don't have to be sitting at their desks and you walk by and you suddenly hear them saying, well, she's about 87 and lives in Idaho and she lives, you know, that sort of thing. No,
yeah.
Go and find, because there's tons of good stuff, as you well know.
Sure.
And then also to do some health fair sorts of things where people can talk to people, because I still believe in people talking to people.
Really? What a concept.
What a concept. I know.
Well, tell us how someone can get a hold of you if they want more information, if they want more information about Emblem, if it's in their area or whatever. How can someone come to your website, your Facebook page, your phone number, your address? Tell us everything about how to get a hold of you.
Well, I'm right here at Emblem Health, and I'm one of these funny people who give you my phone number. It's 646-447-7651. I'm happy to talk to people, and I do answer my own phone. But if you can reach me at gjohnson@emblemhealth.com. That's one word. gjohnson@emblemhealth.com. We'd love to share with you what we've done, and we invite you to go to the emblemhealth.com site /care for the family caregiver, or go to Facebook / care for the family caregiver. And we are also on YouTube. I'm reading all of this because, of course, you know I wouldn't know this. YouTube.com / Emblem Health. And on there is a series that I have done on it's entitled You Are Not Alone. It's an 8-part series that deals with family caregiving. And then also for the corporations, we have corporatecaregivers.com. So as you can see, we have a large commitment to, whether it's seniors raising grandchildren, it's people with end of life in the middle of life, it's veterans, it's people in the corporate world, it's people with chronic conditions, all of these, all the faces. And we continue to find new faces. We just did a project with Fordham University on the incarcerated who are aging within prison, where murderers are the caregivers.
Wow. And, you know, I did a show a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you know this or not, with Rick and Tanya Shaw. They have this ministry to veterans, post-traumatic stress disorder. And this man was suicidal. He was shutting down. Divorce was inevitable. He has a beautiful little girl, and it just was so heartbreaking. And his wife just wouldn't give up. You know, she just wouldn't let him go, and they made it through. Post-traumatic stress disorder, talk about a silent thing that's just destroying our veterans. And I would encourage you to look them up, Rick and Tanya Shaw. on post-traumatic stress disorder. That is something that is growing and growing and growing. And there are caregivers. I mean, if you've got a husband who's sleeping crazy and you're afraid in the middle of the night of getting punched and thrown onto the floor because he thinks that hand grenades are coming in, and he's got a gun pacing the floors in the middle of the night, sleepwalking, and they say it's dangerous to wake up a sleepwalker. So, I mean, this is some heavy stuff. The last couple of minutes, Greg, what would you like to say? Any last-minute thoughts? I know you have something to read. I just want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Well, I want to, first of all, thank you and your wonderful program and the wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing and the diversity
thank
that
you.
You're bringing. It's so important and it's so necessary. But my biggest thing is to say to each and every person who's out there who is a family caregiver, the two words that truly I began with, because they're the words that family caregivers rarely, if ever, hear. And that's thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless.
And what did you want to read?
Well, this is something I wrote to close one of our first family caregiver events. And it's become a tradition, and so I rather love to share it. It's entitled,
cool.
We Are. We are truly diverse and inclusive. We are women and men, black and white and all shades in between. We are straight and gay. We are Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, agnostics, and I hope a few atheists. It keeps us all growing. We are from all over the world. We are New Yorkers, one and all, by birth or adoption. We are family caregivers. We are big business, government, and nonprofits. We are researchers and center leaders. We are formal caregivers and family caregivers. And we are learning to talk to one another. We are finding a common language and moving the dialogue forward. We are about seniors caring for seniors. We are about seniors raising grandchildren. We are about children caregivers. We are about gays and lesbians facing end of life in the middle of life. We are about people with chronic conditions. We are family caregivers, and we care. We are rich, we are poor, but we are all extremely wealthy with love, caring, and compassion. We are channels for one another and for others. We are channels of goodness and love. We are not going through life. We are growing through life. We are not human beings trying to have a spiritual experience. No, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we are sharing the caring. And to each of you, God bless.
Wow. Thank you again, Greg, for allowing me to interview you. And thank you to my listening audience for tuning in today and every Wednesday live at noon. And don't forget, all our shows are recorded podcasts. You can listen on the same link any time of the day or night, 24/7. Also on our website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com, and our new shortcut, CaregiversCaregiver.com, as well as iTunes, and those links are all on our website under the Uplifting Interviews tab. And by the way, when you're on our site, don't forget to take that quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout?, so you can assess where you are in the burnout process. And get your free copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. You will be encouraged and glad you did. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.